Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats, silence your cell phones, for you are now listening to Much Ado About Wrestling!
Welcome to Much Ado About Wrestling. Night 2 of WrestleMania is in the books. I'm Andrew Terrence Caberline. I'm here with you little dancing machine, Tyler Ward, as Bailey would call you. Night 2 of WrestleMania just ended. This is going to be a hard one to do instant reactions for because I feel like I'm just as speechless as Titus O'Neil post
after the Firefly that funhouse match.
And we will get to that and we will talk about it in its entirety.
Yes.
But first, I have to ask you the most important question after the end of night two of WrestleMania, Tyler. Who's going to benefit most from the Big Show show? Big Show or Steve Urkel?
Because this is definitely Urkel. from what I've seen of the trailers, of the commercials, Big Show doesn't look great in this show, I'm being honest. there's some very bad sitcom jokes. But Urkel, man, you know, the sky's the ceiling.
I love that. I never heard that before. The sky's the ceiling is great. No, actually, what is your headline of night two of WrestleMania coming out of it?
Wow. Picking a headline is tough. I think tonight definitely felt different from night one. There were equally good matches. The Funhouse. Wow. I'm still trying to process that. That was so incredible.
It's going to take multiple viewings.
Yes, definitely. It was just, for given the circumstances and working with what you have, like, I think they did a really great job.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I think I said last night, sorry, I've already forgot what I said last night, but I think last night I said the headline was something like, WWE doesn't reinvent the wheel. Like, they like stick to what normally works. And I think that tonight they took big swings. They really did risky stuff, and some of it worked and some of it really didn't work for me. We'll get into that. But I think like tonight was really like, it was the most unlike WWE that WWE has been in maybe ever.
Maybe ever. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you willing to say that this was the better night? Or are they too different that you can't compare them?
I wouldn't say better. I would say on par. And again, the par has been set at such a weird level given the circumstances. So I wouldn't say it was better, but as a whole, as a collective, both of these shows, like, this has been such an interesting, weird, great, odd WrestleMania.
I think shockingly it's gonna be a rewatchable WrestleMania too. So we gotta check in with the Gronk watch.
Oh, who was right? Who called it, Andrew? I think I was the man who said that Gronk was leaving as the 24/7 champion?
You were correct. You got it right. My favorite thing that Gronk did this entire weekend didn't actually involve Gronk.
He didn't do a whole lot of hosting, honestly. No.
Well, that's what I was going to say. When he won the championship and left, when later we cut to Titus O'Neil up there on the balcony, he's like, well, someone had to keep hosting WrestleMania. Yeah. I'm like, did someone really have to keep hosting?
Because he didn't do much before that. Yeah, I was thinking that. Like, Gronk didn't do a whole lot of hosting.
No. Do you think that they have bigger plans for Gronk?
God, I hope not.
I think maybe if he, I could see him being like a permanent member of like WWE backstage, or like the being like a broadcaster. But if he is going to be a wrestler, I feel like he will go get trained.
I hope so. It's so weird because like I like Grant, I don't have much knowledge about Gronk because I don't watch football. So all to my mind, I'm like, okay, what do I know about Gronk? He's like a multi-time Super Bowl champion football player. Okay, cool. But like, whatever he's doing on WWE, like, he's just a dweeb. I'm just like, who is this fool? Like, why should I care about him? I don't know.
Yeah, they haven't done a good job of that yet, because I think what made him appealing in the NFL is that he had crazy touchdown celebrations, and he was this kind of like giant dweeb, but was also maybe the best person to ever play his position.
Right, right.
And I think that they haven't, I guess for him to work as a wrestler, he'll also have to be like a really good wrestler.
The athletic prowess is not transferred to wrestling yet.
No. It could be there, but it's going to be a while before that would happen. I want to talk about one more commercial that happened. I know I talked about the Big Show one kind of in jest, but there's one more thing that piqued my interest. And it was the two ads for the Money in the Bank pay-per-view being May 10th. Is that going to happen? And what is that pay-per-view going to look like?
I don't know. Well, I think I read somewhere that it's Money in the Bank has already been postponed.
Okay.
So I don't know when it's going to happen, but whenever it does, because you can only postpone it so long.
That's the thing. It seemed weird to have two ads for it. And maybe they just couldn't edit that out, I guess.
Maybe they're just really banking on the fact that this is all going to be over by the time that happens, which I don't think it is, but okay.
Good pun, by the way, on that. I was going to say maybe they couldn't just edit it out because there were clearly other moments tonight they could have edited stuff down for time.
They could have edited about 15 minutes out of that Orton Edge match.
Yes, okay, we're going to get to that. I didn't know. I thought for some reason we were going to be on opposite ends on that, but I agree with you. I had a lot of problems with that match.
They could have taken out like 15, 20 minutes of that match. Jesus.
We'll get into that in a second. The last like pre-matches question I have is actually I have two more. Who came out of this WrestleMania weekend with bona fide WrestleMania moments? Who's gonna make the highlight reels in the opening montages in the future?
Let's see. So right off the bat, I'm gonna say KO.
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley, honestly, I think we'll talk about it in a minute, but I think they had the match of the weekend.
Me too, I agree with you.
They gave them a bunch of time, and it was a super good match.
Yeah.
That one, honestly, man, that Funhouse match was even better than the Boneyard. I don't know how.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think that I think that parts of the Drew main event will look good on a video package later.
Yes.
And I think that the Otis and Mandy kiss will be like a good thing for
my boy Otis. Yeah. Love Israel, man.
Yeah. So yeah, there's a lot here to kind of like, it's going to be easy to remember. Like, what was WrestleMania 36 again? Beyond just the one that didn't have fans. There's enough.
Yeah.
And actually there's something from the Edge Orton match that I feel like could be in there too. But yeah, we'll get to that in a second.
Of course.
Chances of having a two-night WrestleMania in the future.
Ooh, I don't know. I'm going to be honest. Having two nights of like 3 to 3.5 hour pay-per-views rather than one like 8 hour pay-per-view, I definitely prefer it.
I did too.
It was much easier to digest two nights of like 3 hours of wrestling than just the one. Like, oh man, I much prefer it. I hope it's a thing.
Yeah. The only issue it creates if this becomes the norm, I guess, is that you can't just put Takeover on Friday because of Friday Night SmackDown now.
My other worry, well, I wouldn't say it's a worry, but I think it's more likely since NXT, for all intents and purposes, is a third brand now. I think it's far more likely that they just get rid of Takeover and they
for
just,
WrestleMania, yeah.
And they incorporate the NXT matches onto WrestleMania.
Yeah,
like WrestleMania, and it's now two nights. It includes SmackDown matches, Raw matches, NXT matches.
Yeah, I mean they broke the seal on that tonight because the first match of tonight was technically an NXT match. So let's get into it then.
Yeah,
there's never been a better segue in the history of this podcast than that. Rhea Ripley lost her NXT Women's Championship to Charlotte Flair in a match that was 20 minutes.
That was 20 minute long, man.
Match classic. Matt classic, rather, not match the Colt Cabana character. what was your main takeaway from this match?
This was definitely the match of the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
This was they gave it so much time. It was very good. They're both great storytellers. As hard as it is to watch a match like this without any audience and all you can hear is just the performers grunting and groaning and screaming,
shrieking.
as weird as that is, like, this was a very good match.
I loved
Reyes' gear. Oh, I love that blue and white.
I loved it too. I loved most of the gear tonight. There's gonna be a lot of gear talk.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that Charlotte Flair is someone who, to me, beyond saying woo and wearing robes and having a figure four leg lock, I've never really seen much of Rick in her. Like, I think that she's been her own person and just has, like, those kind of surface references to who she is.
Sure.
This felt like it was a homage to, like, a 70s Jim Crockett promotion main event with Ric Flair. It had the most, like, classic, tried and true beginning, middle, and end of a wrestling match, of that amazing opening of Charlotte being so cocky and talking through it and not taking Rhea seriously until Rhea almost ends the match in the first minute.
She hit her finisher like 30 seconds in,
I thought it was over. I
was panicked. I was like, oh.
Yeah. So that's an amazing beginning, and then immediately Charlotte gets really quiet, like, doesn't trash talk, and it's like, oh, I overlooked my opponent, and just has to then start working the leg.
It was such an old school tactic, but dang, it was so effective.
I also got to give a shout out to commentary, because in this match they really did a good job of, I think, playing up that this was a match about confidence. And I think that the immediate false finish actually maybe wouldn't have played as well to a giant audience at WrestleMania, who many of them maybe have not seen Rhea and didn't know that that was her finisher. So to have them point out, like, oh my God, she just hit the finisher, I feel like really helped sell that moment. I do wish that the lights would have been turned down to distinguish it as an NXT match. Is that asking too much?
I think something like that nuanced, like, I wouldn't even have noticed that much, but
what was more effective to you as a fan and making you kind of squeal with glee? Is it Rhea Ripley's amazing looking standing cloverleaf, or was it Charlotte using the Walls of Jericho?
Oh, the Walls of Jericho. That popped me, man. I was like, oh, fucking Jericho is going to be posting about this tonight. You know
him. He's already posted about another match, but it's not this one.
Okay.
Tonight. Yeah, I thought that was a really interesting choice.
Charlotte didn't sit down into it, so I guess it wasn't like the full walls.
It was a Boston Crab, for real. Yeah. Like, they called it. It was fun because I feel like we haven't heard the words Boston Crab on WWE TV in a long time.
They haven't had to use it for a long time.
Yeah.
But so, I was Jordan and I were joking about this, like, how like the Walls of Jericho Boston Crab thing. It's also interesting how Matt Hardy was just completely removed from that Orton Edge feud.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, they didn't need it at this point. Like, there was enough.
They didn't need it, but sense, like,
but it was a big part of the impetus of it. Yeah.
Interestingly, just completely omitted.
So the looking towards the future at the end of this match, and again, this was a great showcase for Rhea Ripley. This was a star making match for her. How long do you think Charlotte will be in NXT following this match?
I think as long as AEW is a thing.
Yeah.
I that was my prediction from the start. I was like, Charlotte is winning so they can move her to NXT full time, so they have another major like thing to battle AEW with. Mm-hmm. And I think as long as AEW keeps winning the ratings every single week, I don't know. I think we might even see some other people end up on NXT, but I think Charlotte's going to be there for a while.
I hope you're right, because here's my crazy fantasy booking feeling is I hope that she dominates down there, mm-hmm. and they immediately move Ripley to the main roster and she dominates up there. And mm-hmm. I think if you can keep them hot enough with the reception to this match, this could be a potential main event WrestleMania rematch next year.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of work to do to get to there, but I think it's a real possibility.
I think so, man. That was a really good match tonight. Easily the match of the weekend.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to an actual legit wrestling match.
That's true. And so, not the transcendental experience that the Funhouse was. Good God.
Moving on to Aleister Black versus Bobby Lashley. Did Aleister Black's attire win best WrestleMania attire of the night? Or were you more shocked to see Bobby Lashley wearing pants?
My first thought when Aleister like popped up from his entrance wearing that crazy getup, my first thought was, I was like, oh man, he probably spent a lot of money on that. one's there to see it.
My first thought was, oh, that's cool that he joined the band Gwar.
I felt bad. I was like, he probably spent some money on that, but
he probably did. I actually, you know what? I thought this match was going to be my bathroom break match. I thought it was kind of fun.
I thought it was going to be a squash match.
Mm-hmm.
We like Jordan and I were predicting. We were like, okay, so surely like one of these matches has got to be a squash match. And I was like, it's probably going to be the Aleister one. Like maybe he hits the Black Mass out the gate and that's it. But wow, no, it was a little bit
7 minutes and 20 seconds. So it was just the normal length for regular matches this weekend. I was shocked at how good of chemistry these two guys had. Honestly,
they worked oddly well together.
I forget sometimes that Bobby Lashley has grown into like a really competent wrestler. It is funny though that these are maybe the two quietest performers who got matched up with each other.
Yeah, that's true.
It was not very loud.
Yeah.
About
that made it easier for me to digest though.
Yeah, I think so. What did you think about the ending of this match? It was very interesting.
It was interesting. At first I was confused, like with Lana, when Lana was yelling at Bobby's about to hit the Dominator, which for our loyal fans, like that was Bobby's finisher when he debuted way back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And he was about to hit the Dominator and Lana was like, no, hit him with the spear. I was confused at first. I was like, wait, are they like the two of them feuding? And then he was like, no, I'll hit the spear. I was like, okay, never mind. That was odd.
So my wife wants...
My kayfabe wife, who's another man's real wife.
Yeah. I don't know if Lana's performance was weird and we were just supposed to think it was like a mistake, but I read it as like her intention was to stop him from winning. And that
stop
this is
Bobby
the
from winning?
Yeah. Yeah. I read it as like there was something more sinister in her being like, wait, no, do the spear. And I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but the way that she was staring at him after was like, that's the intention that it read to me.
That was missed on me,
mm-hmm.
but
I
thought it was good. I thought it was an entertaining match. I think Aleister Black has all the potential in the world if he's just like utilized correctly. You know what I mean?
Yeah. My other theory is that maybe Aleister Black used mind control and possessed Lana and made her be like, no, drop him, hit a spear.
It's just like full monotone, hit the spear, Bobby.
Which would have been far from the least realistic thing to happen tonight. Moving on to some realistic romance, Otis versus Dolph Ziggler. This was up there in upper echelon of best video packages ever.
This was so good, man. I don't care what anyone says. This is the best. This is the best storyline in the company mm-hmm. right now.
I think this would have killed in front of a live crowd.
Oh, they would have had such a crazy reaction.
Yeah. And this match, Otis picked up the victory at 8 minutes. This could have been like 5 minutes, and it wouldn't have hurt. It could have been 4 minutes. Like, it didn't matter.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The match was secondary mm-hmm. to the story on this one.
Yes, absolutely.
The run-in, I can't imagine the kind of reaction that Mandy Rose's run-in would have got. I love, though, that we got to hear the mic pick up Dolph being like, "You're ruining it!
You're ruining everything!"
Low blow.
I love that low blows were the story of this match.
Oh, yes, totally.
A story about romance where, like, low blows was what
yep.
did everything.
And then Otis got hit right in his heavy machinery. And
who do you like saying, "Oh, yeah," better, the Kool-Aid Man or Otis?
Oh, it's my man Otis, dude. Otis is the best. Tucky! Come on, Tucky! I love Otis.
I will say I did
feel so bad in retrospect, like that thing of like, if the crowd would have exploded for this, man. Mm-hmm. And like when Otis got the kiss at the end, like,
yeah. I want to say the crowd in my home, which means like Chelsea came in for that match specifically and like watched
the
video package. Yeah. And Chelsea watched the video package and was like, "I am here for this." Like,
yeah.
She was into it. And for a moment after, when he picked her up and it looks like maybe they weren't gonna kiss, we were like screaming at the TV. So it definitely worked in our home. And I imagine it worked in all of yours too.
Absolutely.
I don't know where they go from here. I think it's gonna be tough to keep the momentum up for this, unless she just becomes their like valet.
Yeah, you've already hit like the climax of the story, like
mm-hmm.
so now it would have to, if you want to go so far as to be like, okay, now that they're like going to be a kayfabe couple, and then maybe you could tell the story of like, you know, something coming in between them or something like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm curious to see how long you could keep that story going on, because the story specifically like this, it's super popular, and I do believe like this is like the best storyline they had going in the company, but it's because it was working to that climax point that has happened now. So
mm-hmm.
yeah, I'm curious to see what they do going forward.
There's stuff to try. I don't know if it'll be good. I feel like you could have mm-hmm. Mandy slowly start kind of changing the way Otis behaves, and then Otis has to get in between Mandy and Tucker and be like, "Let's work it out."
Yeah. I mean, there's possibilities, I guess.
Or you could just have like put her in Daisy Dukes and have the three of them be like a Dukes of Hazzard like team. And I think that would also work.
Yeah.
It could kind of be like the plot of the Reese Witherspoon classic Sweet Home Alabama, I feel like. you say, but I know you've seen that movie. unless we got more on Otis.
I don't. I love Otis.
I loved it.
Love is real.
let's get on to a match that felt like it was as long as a movie. this was the match that both of us said we were most anticipating tonight.
Yep.
We were most excited for.
So
this is Edge versus Randy Orton, the last man standing match. Edge picked up the win after mm-hmm. 36 minutes and 35 seconds.
It felt like 36 minutes.
Take me through your journey on this match.
Okay. So I had very high hopes for this. Immediately, Edge entering first to complete silence, I was like, mm-hmm. God, this like, he deserves so much better. He would have had an amazing pop in an arena of tens of thousands of people, but here we are. So I liked that. Orton making like the sneak attack to begin the match, I was okay with it, honestly. Mm-hmm. The thing that bothered me is that He was posing as a cameraman on the outside the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't see that part until a replay after the attack.
Yeah.
Like, it just Edge was standing there, and then Orton out of nowhere RKOs him, who's like wearing like a full black sweatsuit. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, what? And then a replay has to show us that he was the cameraman putting the camera down, climbing into the ring.
Yeah.
You should have just shown us that from the beginning. Like,
that was
why
an amazing idea. It was not executed well.
Why did that need to be in the replay? No, you should have shown us that from the beginning. Like the hype would have been so much higher.
I contend that the replay could have worked if the camera that was last on Edge was the camera that Randy was holding, and we see the camera drop like from that
view. Yeah,
like that would have worked.
Maybe then.
But because it did work when. Then Edge was crawling away, and they did cut to the camera.
And it cut to the camera.
Down.
Yeah,
like,
that
was a cool. Like it worked there, and I feel like it would have worked for the reveal as well.
But other than that, like immediately they moved to the outside, and they never got back in the ring. Which
can I stop you just for 1 second for a really quick question? Is this the first WWE match ever that went through gorilla position? Because that's the first place they go through.
They do, yeah. They go
because Paul Heyman's
the
there, and he then you see Paul Heyman in the back. And he like gets out of the way.
I don't think so. Surely not, right? Like surely there was.
There's had to be
a match that works the gorilla position, but maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah, but they go through gorilla.
They go through gorilla, and then they go through the weight room, and they go through the conference room, and like the parking lot, and they've gone
through the
entire performance center.
Yeah.
Honestly, my main takeaway from this, because there was, I still think like you could have cut 15 to 20 minutes from this match and it would have been exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
The ending, I loved the ending.
The ending was intense.
It was intense. When Edge hits the concerto and then you like, it gets that great zoom in on Edge who gets to practice some of those acting chops and oh, that was a great scene right there.
I thought it was scary. Like I think like giving him the 10 seconds to like think about what he's done and like start crying and being like internally being like, what have I've won but at what cost is really
that finish was done so well.
Mm-hmm.
But it could have happened 15 minutes earlier.
Our friend of the podcast, Pat Stango, texted me. He was really dissatisfied with Smash. I asked him what he would have done differently, and his suggestion was have the stuff in the ring and in the arena, and then they go through Gorilla and cut straight to the warehouse with the truck.
Yeah.
Was that what you would do too? Was there anything in the gym or the conference room or the hallways that you felt was, or the when they came back into the arena for a bit, was there any of that that was worth saving?
The entire gym part can be swiped. None of that was necessary.
Yeah.
The conference room was only funny because Edge like climbed up onto that thing above the conference table to hit an elbow drop that literally did not help him in any way.
I thought that was the finish.
What? That elbow drop?
I really thought that when they did that, I was like, oh man, that's
not through the table. Not through the table.
No, I mean the one with the chain link fence above the very hard concrete table.
You thought that was the finish?
He dropped
2 feet.
I agree with you. I don't think it would have been a good finish, but when it happened, it felt like it was the finish to me.
I was laughing at that. I was like, that's so like that didn't help him in any way to climb onto the chain link fence part.
I agree with you with everything with the gym section too. Yeah. Everything either was a creative idea that didn't quite land or the danger was far too real for me to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Like hitting a guy with a giant weight is pretty serious.
It's pretty serious. But then like where you had the one where Randy was pushing like that sled.
Yeah.
And he was going to like push it into Edge. And I was like, that would literally do nothing. Like I don't.
Yeah. Quick random question. Cause maybe I would have kept the conference room in the hallway just as like a go between, but that's maybe it. Cause it also was like shorter. Do you think that they intentionally had Edge throw Randy into a picture of the Revival?
Oh no, I missed that.
That happened in the conference room. It's like the poster that's on the wall next to the door. And like,
that's great. I totally missed that.
Yeah. I had a real problem with the pace of their working in this match.
It was just so slow.
Yeah. And I get that you got to sell that you can't get up for a last man standing match, but I think maybe if they get through the gym and the hallways and the conference room and the interview section at like lightning quick speed, and then they start huffing and puffing in the warehouse, then like maybe that cuts 10 minutes right there. I feel like maybe the problem too is that they just had so many times that they got to an 8 or 9 count, and maybe they should have just had more like 5 counts.
Yeah. Yeah. it just went on way too long for me. It was such a long match.
I will say I liked the knocking the cameraman out as a fun way to do a masked cut.
That was fun, actually. I did that. Yeah. That felt inspired almost.
And one more storyline question about this, or storytelling question. Did this match break the law of Chekhov's gun?
How so?
In that they went up to a high place and teased that there was a ladder and a truck bed to be thrown onto below it, and no one got thrown off of the truck.
I definitely, the second they made it up top there, I was like, okay, so the finish is they're jumping off this some way.
Yeah. I thought that too. And I think that I thought that even more when Orton came down and was like looking at that ladder and playing.
Yeah. That random 30-foot ladder that's just set up backstage for no reason.
Yeah, well, sometimes you gotta change the lights, Tyler.
Sometimes you gotta change the lights, man.
I did also like there was a part in that match near the ladder table spot where Edge was resting on a giant road case that just had a piece of tape on it that said pre-taped. I thought that was a nice spot. So I think we were both in agreement that this match was a disappointment, even if the beginning and end were good.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Moving on to the Street Profits versus Garza and Austin Theory.
Yeah.
Here is my favorite attire for the night. It was Garza ripping off his pants.
Ripping off the pants, dude. I immediately thought, I was like, dang, that would have got a really good pop in the crowd.
Yeah. This match had no business being as good as it was for me, I feel like. This is a 6-minute match. Street Profits got the win. Was the story of this match who could yell "this is WrestleMania" the loudest between the
At
teams?
Some point, that became the story, yeah. Because going into this, like, I'll be honest, I think this match had the least story going into it.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, this match feels thrown together. Like, this feels like a main event match or something like that. But it was good. It was very entertaining. There was a brief moment at the beginning where I was like, okay, well, this is going to be the squash match then, right? Yeah. Like, Street Profits squash him in like 90 seconds. But no, they gave him some time.
It was interesting to me that the small part of the lead up to this match was all about like you're going to get to see Austin Theory, this prodigy, and I feel like he wasn't given anything to, like, the people who really shone to me were Angel Garza and Montez Ford looked like a star.
Yeah, I think he looked okay. Austin Theory did. He certainly didn't get like a shining spot, but I don't know, I thought he looked all right. But weirdly, he definitely was overshadowed by Angel Garza.
Yeah, just had more natural charisma, or maybe was more comfortable with improving, like trying to match Montez Ford's aura.
Austin Theory should have ripped his pants off, man.
Oh, that would have been great if they'd done it together. I loved the finish of this. I thought it was really creative.
Yeah, actually, I did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Montez Ford does a frog splash to break up the pin, rolls out of the ring, and then Angelo Dawkins pins that opponent. I feel like we've seen both of those things happen, but not together. And seems like such a simple thing. I'm shocked that no one's thought of it before now.
Yeah.
Were you happy to see Bianca Belair come out?
I was. Is this her main roster debut, you think? Is she now just with the Street Profits?
It doesn't have to be. I feel like it was a way to just add another nice moment.
Yeah.
Because
it was hard to tell where, like, had this been a normal Mania with people there, I think I would have left it being like, oh, sweet, Bianca's like main roster now. Yeah, like, this is her debut.
Yeah, I agree
but
with you.
Given the circumstances, I'm kind of like, is this her debut? Like, maybe this is just like a feel good moment.
I'd like to see her get a run against Charlotte in NXT before coming up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Moving on to the women's five-way match. Important attire question.
Mm-hmm.
Do Bayley and Seth Rollins shop at the same ring attire store?
to be fair, I think Seth's attire looked a little better than Bayley's.
Yeah, yeah. Although I did love the role model thing on the back of her shirt. I thought that was a nice touch. Mm-hmm. What were your thoughts on this match?
This match didn't need to happen.
Yeah.
If Bayley was just going to win, like... We story wise, we are exactly where we were at the mm-hmm. beginning of this match that we are now.
Well, not only did Bayley not win, but the most surprising thing is that neither of them turned on each other.
Really. Yeah, that's exactly
in the end. Yeah,
the story did not progress at all after that match having happened.
Yeah,
Bayley is still the champion. Her and Sasha are still friends.
Yeah, even though it's weird though, because they have the false hitting. They screw stuff up for each other, and then they come back, and that's bizarre. My favorite piece of in the ring improv tonight. Michael Cole on commentary saying Boss and Bayley almost got eliminated at the same time, and Bayley turning around and going, "No, we didn't." that was great.
I can't remember what match it was. There was definitely a match where, like someone like hit their finisher or something, and of course on commentary you hear Cole, he's like, "Oh my god, they just hit this," or something like that, and then they play the replay for you to see. And in the replay, you can hear Cole from commentary,
but
it's not as loud like from commentary. It's clearly his like quieted down voice from just the camera feed. It's so weird. It was so freaking weird.
You just remind me of a point I have to make, and this was I don't know why I forgot about this. This was the biggest thought I had during the Edge Randy Orton match. Sorry to go back to it. I think they took an incredibly bold, creative storytelling decision in having the announcers be really muted. Not that they were
like
talking,
whispering,
but they were like
points.
Whispering. Yeah. I think the idea was you're gonna talk really quiet, and people are gonna know that this is like serious, like in like a real sport when someone gets hurt and the announcers start being like quiet. I think that was the intention. The problem is that quietness combined with the slow pace of the wrestlers, I don't think read as this is serious. I think it read as like you're watching golf. Like it sounded like respectful.
Maybe I definitely did pick up on that at some point. I was like, they're like whispering right now. What is going on?
Yeah.
But again, in these weird situations where there's no audience to add to the match, like it was just weird. Like it was just a lot of like dudes huffing and puffing and grunting and it was so weird.
Speaking of weird, you gave me another great segue, Tyler. We've got to the Firefly Funhouse match.
You can call it weird all you want. This match was an achievement.
Do you want to take a guess at how long this was?
This was 15 minutes.
It was 13. It was shorter than I thought it was.
Okay.
Even though both performers in the lead up to this match have been calling out like past stuff, I didn't anticipate that this match was going to be like a creepy career retrospective nightmare.
Yeah.
I mean, there were a lot of highlights in this. What sticks out to you?
Oh my god. This was so good. And like the immediate callback, the immediate one is Bray in the ring giving the promo as Kurt Angle for when John Cena debuted. And then old Cena wearing like the same gear that he debuted in, like, That was so cool. That definitely got a pop out of me. I was like, oh, I can't believe they're doing this.
Yeah.
And then they like moved into like the Dr. Thugonomics and then they went back to like Bray's old character. Like,
Yeah.
This was such like a love letter to fans of John Cena and fans of Bray who've been watching for years. And it was so well done.
And even beyond that, like fans of wrestling incredible history, people who were like people who have the criticism of like John Cena is just like another Hulk Hogan who doesn't work because he's like not in the right time period. Like that was a huge and introspective like moment, like thought of crisis to have for like a pro wrestling match.
I loved the point where they were in the ring and Bray was given the promo where he was talking like, no, you're a bully, John. Like you're the one who's always had everything given to you. And like, that was the whole premise. Like John Cena's promo was, he was talking about how Bray Wyatt was the most overhyped, overprivileged superstar to find out that like, no, that's John John.
Oh man. It was crafted really, really well. I think last night we talked about how the Boneyard match was kind of like an action movie Western horror showdown.
Yeah.
And I think we both kind of expected this to also have a like shticky horror genre feel to it. Mm-hmm. I never in a million years would have guessed that we would have got a straight up like this is the Twin Peaks of wrestling. Like
no,
really
yeah, that
like,
was
really acid trippy, really absurd. Not a whole lot of humor in it. Most of the humor came from the puppets, but for me also
was,
a lot of the scariness.
There was some
comes
humor
from the
for me.
Was it was Macho Mercy your favorite?
Yeah, oh yeah. That was the humor for me, absolutely. I was getting some very strong Southpaw vibes out of that.
Yeah. Is this the most alienating thing that WWE has ever done to their fan base?
Oh,
like
wow.
At large, because there's a very small amount of the fan base that I think would get and appreciate this.
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. I think it's definitely, it rewards the longtime viewer.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who can appreciate the throwbacks to John Cena's debut and Bray Wyatt's
which is,
caters to mm-hmm. those old time viewers, but I don't
which
know.
Is not
I
something
think
that they do often. Like referencing old storylines is something that's actually kind of like a no-no.
Yeah. They don't usually bring that up. But I don't know. I think I'm a little biased just because I loved it so much. I don't see how anyone couldn't have.
What do you think? Well, it's not that I don't think people didn't enjoy it, but I think that there are certainly enough viewers who are like loyal WWE viewers who maybe didn't get what
you
the
know
intention
what?
Was for a lot of stuff.
No,
like
you know
this
what?
Is good shit. Yeah.
I absolutely understand because during that I forgot Sarah texted me and she was like, I hate this. And I responded and I was like, I love this.
Well, it's like, yeah, like I think it's not 100% noticeable off the bat what like Hulk Hogan and John Cena have to do with each other. Right. Mm-hmm. Like it's on another level, and I think,
dude, I forgot about the NWO entrance thing.
Yeah.
Oh my god!
Yeah, the like I was explaining that to like in the room with Chelsea. I was like, this is a reference to the fact that he has complained that they would never turn him heel because he's like Hogan, but then like let's put him in the outfit that Hogan's in when he turns heel. Like that's on a whole nother level of meta for WWE. Yeah. What do you think the discussion in the room was about including the "this is such good shit" line?
Oh, that line definitely popped me. I was mm-hmm. so hyped at that. I don't know. I think this match, a majority of it was John Cena and Bray Wyatt sitting down, the two of them being like, this is what we want to do.
Yeah.
I think that was a large portion of this match. The good shit line, I bet that was a Bray idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm shocked that got approved. But I guess like they did say the word shit on both nights of WrestleMania, which is bizarre to me. Mm-hmm. How many small children do you think cried during this match?
Maybe a few. Maybe
it was terrifying.
A few, man. Yeah.
It was legit. Really scary. like him going through the scary door is. Yeah. What did you were you also immediately concerned when John Cena came out into his normal entrance?
I got
panicky texts from Pat, and when that happened, we were like,
I was immediately concerned when he made it like his music hit and he made his entrance. Mm-hmm. I was like, what is going on? No. But then he gets like teleported to the funhouse. I loved it.
I feel like I'm gonna watch this match a lot again. I think something I'm going to do for our listeners is I kind of want to write an annotated, like, script. Or not script, but, like, do an annotated version of this and be like, here's what this shot was a reference to, and mm-hmm. here's what these things were a reference to. Because I think there's a lot of gold to mine in there. Is it fair to call this a match?
I don't think so.
Because I was thinking, is this on my top 10 matches of the year, or can I not put it there because it's not actually a match?
I wouldn't call it a match, because I guess, like, it ends with Bray, like, getting a three count that he counts himself, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I wouldn't call it a match. Like, to me, I would just, like, say it is, like, an exceptional promo, you know?
Yeah. I was half expecting... when the pin happened within like the hellscape that is John Cena's mind, that they would cut back to the arena and John would have like fallen over.
And he'd just be like laying in the ring.
Well, I would say he would have fallen over during his entrance and like he had a brain aneurysm and like just all of this was just like, or maybe not that, but like this was like a Jacob's Ladder scenario where like all of this like didn't actually happen. And he just was like,
We were definitely hoping that it would cut back to the arena and John Cena would be like laying in the ring.
Yeah.
Like he took the three count, but maybe it was all in his mind. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Or yeah. If John Cena was just revealed to be in an insane asylum from the beginning. Do you think that we could start calling Bray Wyatt the Cerebral Assassin now? Is that no longer Triple H's nickname? So with our limited time left, let's get to the main event. Let's get to Brock versus Drew. Drew picked up the win in
2 minutes and 14 seconds.
Wow. Literally exactly double that. 4 minutes and 30 seconds. So you're close to almost exactly double.
Dang it.
What were your thoughts on the main event?
It felt very much business as usual. Drew kicking out of that F5 at one got a little bit of a pop out of me.
That would have got a huge pop, I think.
That would have gotten a massive pop, yeah. That one popped me a little bit. I was excited about that. Again, it's a bittersweet thing of when Drew got the three count, I was audibly cheering in my home. I was like, yes! Mm-hmm. And then, like, seconds later, I was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Poor Drew. That guy, he deserves so much better.
It's too bad, because I think the, like... this is, for all intents and purposes, this was the exact same match as Goldberg versus Braun.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. Like, it's not that different, really. It's all finishers, and it's that. But I think that this would have actually got a pretty warm reception in front of a live audience, because to end a marathon night on a happy match that's short, I feel like actually would have been welcomed.
Exactly. And I just feel bad for Drew. Yeah. I watched, after we finished recording last night, I finished watching the, like Chronicle that they did on Drew. Mm-hmm. And that thing is very recent. Like, the last footage they have is from like April 1st.
Yeah.
And so it goes like deep into like the coronavirus showing up and shows getting canceled and mm-hmm. Drew reacting to them. And you just, God, you just feel for the guy.
Yeah. I started watching before we started recording tonight, the first few minutes of the Undertaker one. And that also looks like it's going to be like a sad thing.
You just feel for him. I'm so happy that he is finally the guy, mm-hmm. but it's just unfortunate. My immediate like thing after he won the title, and like I had a second process, and my thought was, they better keep that title on him until audiences are back. Like,
it would
be a travesty if he lost that belt before anyone could appreciate
I really
him.
Think they just shouldn't do shows until they have the audience back, but that might be
I think they should take some time off.
Yeah.
Like give them a give the guys a break, like
There were a few things there were a few very small things that I liked in the business of the match that I want to point out is that Paul Heyman again being an MVP. I thought on the same show where we had Lana's weird moment with Bobby that I thought it was interesting that they demonstrated Paul Heyman being a good manager in contrast to that, where like Lana told her wrestler to not do his finishing move, to do another finishing move. Paul Heyman audibly being like, when Braun was rocked, being like, he's about to hit you with a claymore.
Right.
And
then
like him getting out of the way. I thought that was interesting and really showed Paul Heyman's value. And I think like Zelina Vega, to her credit, did a lot of that in their match as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think there were a lot of things that I hoped would happen immediately after Drew won. And I understand if they were things they couldn't do. I was like, you could at least have the other wrestlers who were there come out on the ramp and give him a standing ovation. Or like have like the announcers get up and do a standing ovation.
Yeah.
Because I felt like this needed that. But I get if like no one's there. Like
it did need something like that. It felt lackluster at the end of just being like, okay, Drew's got the belt and we're out.
Yeah. The other idea I had, and this might have been Nick's just because he literally is an old man and it would have been really dangerous to have him there, is if the whole story is that Drew was, because they kept showing the moment of Vince being like, Drew is the chosen one.
Exactly, yeah.
If they could have just had Vince McMahon come out and shake his hand at the end and be like, you finally lived
acknowledging,
up to your promise.
Yeah,
like that would have been perfect.
Yeah.
But I really get why maybe Vince maybe wasn't even there. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But the moment of Drew reaching out through the camera to the
fans. I saw that,
saying thank you. That was amazing. I would have just like
powerful.
Cut it. I know that there was like another minute after of him like posing.
Mm-hmm.
If I were in gorilla position, I would have been like, oh, cut it. That's it.
Yeah, that was powerful. I did like that.
I'm happy he got that at least. I think that he made that moment bigger with that little bit there. That felt really genuine to me.
Yeah.
So that was WrestleMania.
Oh,
we have one last thing to do before the WrestleMania season is over, and it's both of us making a ridiculously wild, bold prediction for next year's WrestleMania.
Yes, we do. Do you know our predictions from last year?
No, I'm going to look them up. I will talk about our predictions from last year when we do our top 10 wrestlers and matches of the year special, which will be our next episodes. So I'll see how well we did. I think I said Roman Reigns wasn't going to be on WrestleMania, actually.
And you were 100% right.
I'm pretty sure that was my bold prediction. I was like, Roman Reigns will not be in.
I have no idea what mine was. I'm sure it didn't happen.
I think I remember saying that at some point last year. I don't know if that was my bold prediction, but I remember
we'll check
like,
the tape. Yeah. We'll check the tape.
I may have just said he wasn't going to be in WWE, which is not the
same.
Oh,
wow.
But yeah, I'll check it. I think my bold prediction is that there will be a Boneyard 2 match at next year's WrestleMania, and I think it will be Aleister Black versus The Undertaker.
Aleister Black versus Undertaker in a Boneyard 2. Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair. Let's see. My wild prediction. My wild prediction for next year's Mania is that people will actually be there.
Well, here's how about this. What do we think the main event is going to be next year?
Next year, that's so hard to tell.
Yeah, I know.
I think I'm going to make a couple, like, not too bold predictions, but just a few, like, out there ones.
Mm-hmm.
I predict that Edge is going to still be around, and he's going to have a real WrestleMania match next year to finish his career.
Mm-hmm.
I predict that somehow WWE is going to write their way out of the kayfabe fact that AJ Styles is now dead.
Yeah.
AJ Styles was murdered last night.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think my most base prediction is going to be that Seth is going to be the defending champion at Mania.
That kind of makes sense to me. I could see a lot of ways in which that would happen. I think that there will be a loser must retire match at WrestleMania next year that is between either Roman and John Cena or Roman and The Undertaker. Maybe that's actually my bold prediction, that one of them is going to have a retirement match next year.
Retirement match with Roman?
Yeah.
So they're definitely going to lose.
Yeah. Well, unless Roman takes... I keep thinking that Roman's going to take time off. I really... That's just that there's some sense that I get about that. Not based on any reports or facts or rumors, but I mean, he just had a pretty testy time with the company right now.
That's true.
So we'll see.
My other big prediction that I got to look at the numbers. I don't even know if this is possible. My other big prediction is that... next year ends with Sasha Banks as your AEW Women's Champion.
I think that is a pretty good bet.
I don't know when her contract is up, but
yeah.
Oh boy, ain't looking good for Sasha.
I think that could be true. And with that, we're going to leave you off for the night. I hope you all called out of work on Monday. I hope you all still have jobs. I wish you all a great WrestleMania, and to all a good night.
Yeah. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Thank you.